Hello, I'm Alice Gray, and welcome to another episode of Inside the Petri Dish, the podcast that dissects science and takes a look down the microscope at controversial topics in research. In this episode of Inside the Petri Dish, we're going to be continuing our journey exploring immunisations and vaccinations. I've been set a task to find out more about this, and in this episode, we take a look at the future of vaccinations. The use of immunisations to potentially cure or prevent illnesses like cancer is a really interesting and exciting area of research, so I thought I'd give it a shot and try and track down some experts. Get it? You know, like shots, injections. So I'm here with Alan Parker, virologist from Cardiff University, and we're at the Tackling Cancer Together event in Y Hen Llyfrgell in Cardiff City Centre, talking about the Wales Cancer Partnership and how Wales is working together to come up with a cure for cancer quicker, basically by working together. And we're in amongst the history part of the museum, so if you can hear some weird music in the background, it's a nice pioneering sort of exhibit, I'm guessing. So
I have no idea what it is. But it's part of the Cardiff story, right?
It's a gentle, nice accompanying music.
Very relaxing.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
So we're looking at IMS and vaccinations, and we've looked at how they work, and we've looked at the consequences of not being vaccinated. But one of the big questions is how viruses and cancers interplay, how viruses can cause cancer, but also how we can utilise vaccinations and immunisations and immunotherapy in the future to help treat cancer or prevent cancer. So can you tell us a little bit about your work, first of all?
So yeah, my work touches on several of those different areas, I guess. So the main sort of thrust of what we do is to try and actually use viruses as a tool to treat cancer. So rather than being a pathogen that will get into your respiratory tract and cause you a nasty disease, cough and a cold that your body will eventually fight back and clear, we're taking that virus and we're training it as a vehicle for doing good. So what we try and do is make that virus unable to infect your healthy cells, and we try and tailor it to infect cancer cells. And in doing so, it can then infect those cancer cells, it can replicate inside those cancer cells, make more of itself. You can engineer the virus further so that it throws out something interesting or something useful in cancer, such as an immunotherapy of some sort. And in that process, it's throwing out these therapeutic agents, it's replicating itself, it's lysing the cancer cells, which in itself is immunogenic, brings in the immune system and helps to clear the cancer. So it's an interesting way that, you know, a lot of the stuff that we do, we tailor these viruses towards attacking cancer cells. But some of these viruses that we make as well can also be useful as platforms for vaccines too.
So they can be both therapeutic and preventative?
Yes. So we touch on immunotherapies in several different ways. We use viruses to deliver immunotherapies by encoding the DNA for immunotherapies within a virus that can get to the tumour and make that immunotherapy. But as well as that, some of our work also touches on the potential of using viruses to express tumour antigens and therefore elicit an immune response against tumours as well.
Because viruses essentially work by latching onto cells and injecting DNA into cells. That's correct, isn't it?
Sort of.
For a lay audience.
Yeah.
That's,
okay.
So essentially what you're doing is you're harnessing that technology, that capability, it's an innate working of a virus, to infect cells with good things rather than...
Yeah, that's exactly right. Rather than causing disease and pathogenesis. So viruses are incredibly clever things. You know, they've evolved through millions of years to be very efficient, from going around in the atmosphere, floating around in the air, to getting into the body, into a cell, and through into the nucleus, and delivering the DNA payload to the nucleus of those cells. So we can hijack that in one or two ways. We learn about how these viruses infect normal cells, and we tailor them genetically to only infect cancer cells. And then we can use that to deliver a DNA payload that can be useful in cancer. So that's a kind of direct virotherapy approach, if you like, where the virus is being used to treat the cancer and make something therapeutic within the tumour. But there's also another aspect where we have some viruses that are very good at infecting immune cells. And by getting tumour antigens into immune cells and eliciting an immune response against cancer antigens that we can put within the virus, you can then elicit a host immune response against the tumour. So you can train the host immune system using viruses to attack the cancer indirectly.
Yeah, because I mean, your body will detect foreign bodies, including bacterial infections, viral infections, and also cancers. So you're using that to fight cancer.
Yeah. In fact, you know, every day you're developing cancer, but your immune system is on constant surveillance. So it's seeking out where cells have transformed and gone from being normal to being cancerous, and it's finding them. And when you actually get a cancer developing, it's because the tumour has become clever. It's found a way of evading that immune response. So this is where, you know, the whole field of immunotherapies is really clever. It's a way of re-educating your immune system to recognise those tumour cells that have managed to hide from the immune system.
Because they almost work like a parasite in the sense that they try and evade response from your body. Yeah. So by using immunotherapy, you are harnessing and heightening our internal responses anyway.
That's correct.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're not actually, you know, when we think of some ejecting ourselves with a virus to make ourselves, you know, you see this in sci-fi films, it makes us, you know, superhuman.
Superhuman, that's right.
When actually we're just heightening on what we already do on a daily basis.
That's right, exactly. That's it doesn't have to be a virus, you know, many of the immunotherapies that are most clinically relevant at the moment are antibodies that simply stop your immune system from, you know, when a cancer evolves and it manages to evade the immune system, it's because the tumour is using specific molecules to turn off the immune system. So many of the you know, the major advances in the immunotherapy field are using antibodies that switch that handbrake off, if you like. It's like, you know, the tumour is turning off the immune response, but we can use drugs, antibodies, to release that handbrake, if you like, and so we can re-energise the immune system to attack the cancer again.
That's amazing. It's fantastic what scientists, for me as a Welsh person, the scientists in Wales are doing to help tackle cancer, as it affects all of us. One in two people will get cancer. So in terms of using immunotherapy, is it something that you would have maybe when you were younger? Because we already see the HPV vaccine being used, and that already having an effect in the number of people who are having cervical smears. So would that be something you envision as being something you have when you're younger as a preventative measure, or used alongside cancer therapies?
Well, so for HPV related tumours, and that has been, of course, revolutionary, that is a very specific type of cancer that's caused by the virus. So in that scenario, it's a traditional vaccine response where we are actually stopping the cancer forming by getting rid of the virus, or stopping being infected by the virus that causes the cancer in the first place. Whereas, you know, more of the stuff that's going into clinics now in terms of people who've developed cancers, you know, most cancers aren't related to viruses. You know, there's only a small proportion of tumours that are related to virus-mediated infection. So actually, you know, you're not going to be able to cure all cancers by giving someone a vaccine at a young age. But what you can do is when people do develop cancer later in life, you can look at those cancer cells. That, you know, cancer cells are marked out as different, but your immune system is missing them. So if you can almost envisage a day in the future where we will take biopsies of tumours and we'll look at what's on the surface of those tumour cells, and we'll ask what makes those tumour cells different to the normal cells, what antigens, we call them, on the cell surface, are different to the normal cells. And then we can make a vaccine that will specifically raise an immune response against those antigens, and then train the immune system to fight back against the cancer.
And so how does a tumour use our immune system go undercover in our immune system? How does it hide from us?
Well, it's very clever. So it uses these, you know, negative regulators of, you know, our body is constantly in a state of flux where we need to try and get rid of tumour cells, but at the same time we don't want to have such a strong immune response that we develop what's called autoimmunity, where the body attacks itself. So we have to have these negative regulators on our immune cells to stop our own immune system eating ourselves up, if you like. So what the cancer does is it basically regulates certain key molecules on the cell surface to switch off the host immune system. So even though the tumour is developing, it upregulates these markers on the cell surface that will switch off the immune system. And that's where a lot of the new immunotherapies that are coming into the clinic now are able to actually bind and interfere with that interaction between the cancer cells and the immune cells to help re-energise the immune system and take that handbrake off, if you like, and get the immune system attacking the cancer cells again.
That's pretty interesting. So one of the things we've talked about is how we could utilise public engagement to raise awareness for some of the questions that people have about immunisations and vaccinations and how the immune system works and how these in themselves are utilising our own internal mechanisms to help us defend against diseases. So that's pretty similar to what we're talking
here. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, you can see it, you can envisage a situation where actually we're fighting cancer on two fronts. we have to turn off these negative regulators using drugs that are going into clinics now that are actually working really well. But you can use vaccines as well to stimulate the host immune system. So it's almost like taking away the negative signals of the immune system and giving it a positive signal, saying attack cancer, you know, giving it a positive signal saying go and attack these cancer cells on the one hand with the vaccine, and on the other hand, dampening the immune system, which is telling the immune cells to stop attacking the cancer. So it's kind of a war on two fronts, if you like, with the immunotherapies.
And how far are we from... So we already see these in clinics then?
We do, yeah. No, immunotherapy. So things like, they have big long names like ipilimumab, nivolumab, pembrolizumab. These are things that are really revolutionising cancer care now. In fact, they're the new big thing. I would say there's been nothing bigger in the last 20, 25 years. What we're now seeing as well is sort of combinations of where we're using vaccines and immune checkpoint inhibitors. Okay, so this kind of biphasic thing where we get rid of the negative regulators and we enhance the positive regulators of attacking the cancer cells. So that's quite experimental now. In fact, there are some trials of that that have been going on in Cardiff, where they've looked at dampening the immune response so that the bad immune cells, if you like, are switched off, so that the negative regulators of the immune system are switched off, and also a vaccine against an antigen called 5T4.
So
but that's something that's happening now in clinical trials, yeah.
That's amazing. It's always amazing for me to see science actually moving into everyday life. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see, at a Welsh scale, as I said, Welsh research making a really big difference in cancer treatment. So thank you so much for
joining
me today and chatting to me about cancer and giving a positive spin on something that is really a scary thing for some people.
Sure.
So
thank
you so much. So that's it for this episode of Inside the Petri Dish. Using IMS as a way of preventing cancer is an incredibly exciting prospect and throws in some totally new moral arguments into the mix. So I'm going to be taking my findings and reporting back to Vicky and Tay to talk about this a bit further. So until next time, see you later.